Good morning. We wish to welcome each and every one to the house of the Lord. And we do so in the name of Jesus Christ, as we're commanded to do all things in His name. It was all I could do not to sing with the choir this morning. And we want to thank the choir and Sister Brenda for setting the tone for this service, because I believe in my heart that they want to minister and not perform for you today. Again, we welcome you to the house of the Lord and trust that the good Spirit will be here as we consider our Thanksgiving service this morning. From the Apostle Paul to the saints at Philippi, many years ago, was some wise counsel that was given. This counsel is for you and me as well today, brothers and sisters. Wherein he said to them, "Be afflicted for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Would you turn to hymn number 513 with us, please?
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we truly praise Thee for this opportunity to meet on this beautiful fall day in Your holy tabernacle and witness before Thee of our love and devotion to Thy holy name. So thankful, Father, for the many bountiful gifts and blessings that You have blessed us with as your children in these the last days. Father, I would ask for your Holy Spirit to continue to be among us, that we might be edified in that oneness of heart and mind, always willing to render that which is our reasonable service before your throne. Father, I would ask for your consideration for my brother Eric, as he would expound your will and your desires for your children this day, and that you might bless this waiting congregation with that outpouring of that gift of the Holy Ghost, that we truly might be your children seeking to build your kingdom here upon earth. I pray for those many that are afflicted this morning and wish that they could be with us, but are not able, that you might bless them, Father, through that gift and blessing of your Holy Spirit, that they truly might be comforted. And we ask this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I'd like to share with you from Psalms 100, the entire verse. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. As we reflect upon this time of year, that we reap the harvest of the fields, that we might consider God's goodness in our life and the time of our ability to reap of God's word and to know of his love and his mercy for all his creation as we live in this the promised land with the opportunity and the privilege to give for many that have not. And would you now join me in prayer? Our Father and our God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you grateful that we've had opportunity to live in this land of freedom. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we might put forth any money that we have, that we might do so with grateful hearts and a joyous spirit. And pray, dear Lord, that that which we collect here this day might truly be sanctified and used to be a blessing in the lives of those that are starving for your goodness and your love. We pray that you would bless those that give, and especially those that have desire to give but unable to. Help us to use these funds to further your work, to take your word out to those that are looking for the answers of life. Bless our endeavors here this day in these funds, we pray, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God who has created you and has kept and preserved you and has caused that ye should rejoice and has granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if ye should serve him who has created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say, if ye should serve him with all of your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he has promised you that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land.
Thank you.
I was thinking there I'd much rather sit back in the choir and listen to someone else preach. But it's good to be with all of you this morning. Hear this service of Thanksgiving. You know, people in the choir, if you probably question them why it is that they sing, I bet you most of the men and women behind me would say that they do it because they love singing. And it is such a blessing and a gift to be able to do that. And I was thinking here in my preparation of the blessings that I've received. And the thought occurred to me, we should just write these down. And so I got out a piece of paper and I began to write down the blessings that came to mind. And pretty soon I had two pages filled up. But it is true that I have been blessed. I have, and I know many of you have as well. And we thank our Lord for those blessings that He's given to us. You know, I've heard it expressed many times from the pulpit by men that, and it's almost become somewhat of a cliche, if you will, that they were born of goodly parents, as Nephi. But I was born of goodly parents. And they taught me of the gospel early in my life. They loved me, they supported me, and they cared for me. And you know, I have known men and women who have not had that privilege. Probably you do as well. That they their parents were not good. That their homes were ones of fear or indecision or worse things that were going on. That certainly they had not been exposed or been presented the light of truth, or told about the Son and His sacrifice that He made for them. There are some who did not receive that privilege. And it is a privilege, saints, if you grew up with a home that had parents who believed in you and who desired to for you to grow up in light and truth, that you might walk in light and truth. And certainly that's what I desire for my children. And my family, my parents were good. My family, my extended family, my grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, all of these were very supporting and loving people. But you know, when I grew up in the church, I spent a lot of time in youth groups. In fact, that's one of the more memorable things when I was young, is all of the youth retreats that I went to and the camps that we went to and the experiences that I had there. And I really do believe that those things, doing those things, have kept me in the church, have kept my interest in the church and provided a foundation that you can build on as you grow older. And you know, it is, I was thinking about that, about there was a young girl who, Emily went to a camp and she lived in Florida. And I know her parents, but she lived in Florida and they sent her up to come to, I think it was Mammoth Camp. And she had never been around so many young people who were in the church. And you know, you think about that, about not only these camps, but you think about the blessing it is that we have to be able to come and to worship with many others who are of like faith, who have believe as we do, who desire the kingdom as we do, who know the Master's voice and have recognized that Holy Spirit. What a blessing it is to be able to do that, because I, at different times, I have lived away from the center place and I've had to go and meet in some of these small groups, or perhaps there's been no one at all. And it gives you certainly an appreciation of what it is to live here in the center place and to be with the saints. So when I think about my family, brothers and sisters, I do think of you all, because the church, the people in the church, are my second family. And I know many of you probably feel that same way as well. And you know, another thing that I am thankful for is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you know, Jesus said that when He comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that He will guide you to all truth. And isn't that true, saints, that Spirit gives us light, it gives us direction, it gives us wisdom, it gives us insight. If you've ever had one of those decisions that you just didn't know how to make, it was perhaps a weighty decision, perhaps it was a minor decision, and you prayed for that light and truth, and the Lord opened your mind and gave you direction. Where would we be without that light and truth? That Spirit, which has so many other names, you know, the Comforter, because it provides us comfort. It gives us peace, the Spirit of peace. It consoles us when we are down. And it lifts us up. And would we not all be just wanderers and vagabonds in this dark world without this Spirit, this light of truth that leads us and guides us? And as I said, I think about my own life, and early on in my life, thankfully, I recognized that I didn't know the future, and that I was not necessarily the, as some would like to think, I was not the one who decided my own destiny. And so I turned to Him who knows the future, who knows what it is that your destiny is, even if you don't know it. And I turned to Him, and I thought back as I was thinking about this, about how all of those decisions that I've had and that I've made, even from when I was in high school when I began to think about this, that I have petitioned the Lord about, and He has been gracious to me and given me direction and guidance. Where would we be, brothers and sisters, if we did not have that guidance? I know many of you have inquired of the Lord for direction and guidance. Where would you be in your life without that Holy Spirit? And I thought to myself that there are those, perhaps even here, who do not have not taken advantage of this gift, this blessing that our Heavenly Father gives. You know, there that hymn comes to mind, "What a friend we have in Jesus," and "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And there's another hymn, too, that I particularly like that says, "Come cast your burden at His feet and bear a song away." He gives us that peace, brothers and sisters. And if you have not taken advantage of that which He has to offer, if you feel that you have these decisions that you are to make, sometimes weighty decisions, and you're not receiving the light and truth, is because you've not placed your full trust in Him. That's what He wants us to do. Not just casually ask Him, it's a curbside consultation, just to get His opinion and then make our own decision, but to cast your burden on the Lord. And let Him be your guide. And let Him be your light that leads you. You know, I think of many times that I have come and met with the saints. And there has been that spirit of truth there that has bound our hearts together, that has filled our hearts with love for one another. In particular, reunion. Some of these reunions, they're the most memorable things in my mind. The experiences that we have shared there, brothers and sisters. The ministry that we've received, the miracles that we've witnessed. I think back to a reunion when Emily was young and a baby, and I've shared this before, but she had these repeated ear infections and we didn't know what to do. Well, I guess you could say we thought we knew what to do. My wife and I, being doctors, we knew, give her an antibiotic. But it just kept occurring. And we had her administered to and twice. And she was crying in the night because her ears hurt. And Brother Davies at home, Brother Bill Davies, awoke because the Lord allowed him to hear her cry. And he got down on his knees and he prayed for her there in the middle of the night. He even knew the time when he was talking to me about it the next day. He even knew the time that she began to cry. That's the kind of God that we worship, brothers and sisters. God of miracles, who hears his saints. And she wasn't troubled by those ear infections any longer. Some of the most remarkable experiences. I was just back in the pastor's study. I had to go and I grabbed some scriptures that needed to be delivered. But in there, I need to figure out what to do with them, or Joe needs to figure out. But there are some pictures that a little boy named Clayton drew at our reunion this summer when he saw angels during a baptismal service. Little brother Clayton. And so he drew those pictures. I had them on the backboard. Brothers and sisters, we have not begun to comprehend the things that the Lord can do. We limit Him sometimes, don't we? I know I do. Pray that I need to do good on this, do well on this test when I was in school. You want a specific answer, you just give me an A. And we do the same things many times in our lives, not really willing or open-minded to know how it is that the Lord can work. Because He can bless us, brothers and sisters, in ways that we have not comprehended or thought of. You know, many times those blessings can come in disguise. I think about the story of Paul and Silas, that they were put in prison for preaching the gospel. And here they were down in this dungeon, and they were in shackles and chains. And it says that they sang hymns. They trusted in their God, and the angel came and released them. And because of that, the jailer and all of his family were converted. Probably didn't see that coming. And you know, many years ago when I was looking at what specialty I should go into, I thought I wanted to be a surgeon, you know, do operations and cut on people and so on. And I did some extra courses in it, and I guess I have to say I felt like that's what it was that I was supposed to do. That's what the Lord wanted me to do. But you know, when the time came that these different residency programs make their selections, I was not on the list for surgical residency. And it just so happened that that year, the program down at UMKC, the internal medicine program, had decided to add one more spot for another resident. And they hadn't filled it. And that was a tough decision, brothers and sisters, to decide the next of your, where your life's going to go, the pathway you're going to travel. You have one night to make that decision. That was a restless night. But I prayed about it and I made that decision to go into that program. And I think about it, you know, I think if I had initially decided I wanted to pursue this field of medicine, that I might have chosen a completely different path. I probably wouldn't have gone there. I don't know. But you know, the Lord knew this. And so I stayed here, and I met this girl named Christy Rutledge. And of course, she became my wife. And you know, there are really very few extremely important decisions that you make in life, aren't there? One of them is probably your career that you do, but the other is your companion, isn't it? And you know, I had been praying about this, and I don't mean to embarrass my wife, but it's been 20 years now. And I have seen over the years how our personalities seem to mesh together in a really beautiful way. And the things that are my weakness are her strengths, and her weaknesses are my strengths. And even when we've had tough decisions and things that have come before us, we've been able to reconcile them and move forward. And I know a lot of those things split couples apart, that they place a great trial on them. And so that is one of my blessings, brothers and sisters, my companion that the Lord has been so thoughtful of to provide for me. And you know, when I was in high school, we were asked to make a description of a vision of what our future is going to be like, where we are going to be working, what we'd be doing. And so I wrote out this thing, and it's not important what I thought at the time, because it turned out none of it was true, hardly. But I wrote all this thing out, and one thing I remember putting in there is that I was going to have a family, and that's about it. It was just a one-line thing. You know, I've got a family, children, and a wife. And, you know, not until we had children did I really come to appreciate the how much enjoyment I have had being a father. And you know, until you've actually been in that position, I don't think you can appreciate that. But they teach you a lot of things about yourself. And the things that they say, you know, one of the, when they're young, the things that they say are just, sometimes they're incredible. They just say what's on their mind, don't they? And there's that scripture that talks about the Lord letting the children come unto Him because of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I often wondered what that meant before I had children. But you know, he was speaking of their innocence, their benign, humble, sweet innocence, the way that they view things in the truth and just how they are, not the way you or I view them. And you know, that's how our Lord wants us to one day be again, because we were innocent at one time ourselves. But he wants us to be innocent in that childlike state, because of such is the kingdom. And you know, I'm going to say this, but children are a blessing. And I know some of you probably smile a little bit, and my wife probably has some different thoughts in her mind at times. And sometimes your patience can be tried, can't it? The things that they do, and resist what you want them to do. And it's at those times, brothers and sisters, that I have recognized is that this is how our Heavenly Father sees us, isn't it? In our rebellion, in our sin, perhaps we try His patience, don't we? But yet He loves us more than we can imagine, perhaps more than you even love your own children. And He desires for us to come back into His presence. And so He reaches out to us, brothers and sisters. You know this in your own personal life, that He has reached out to you and brought you out of the world because of that love, because of that desire that you might be here today with the saints, that you might be there with Him in His kingdom. That is His desire. And He works with us, and He tries us, and He molds us, that we might be like His Son, that we might have the privilege and the experience of dwelling with Him one day. And so, as I said, children have been a blessing in many ways, and certainly in understanding what it is to be a father or a heavenly father. And I think as well of the scriptures. Where would we be without the scriptures, the word of God? You know, Lehi and Nephi, they saw it as a rod of iron. And you went and you grabbed onto that rod of iron and you hung on fast. No matter the mist of darkness, the winds, the great and spacious building, and the people who pointed and mocked at you. Despite whatever the world says, you hung on to that rod of iron. And if you did, and you drew it, you drew yourself through it, along its path, and you come to the tree of life. The tree that gives us eternal life. And gives us joy, as it said, the joy that is unspeakable. Where would we be without those scriptures? You know, I have come to recognize that there is a scripture for every situation. I used to not think that. I used to think, you know, in our day and age, we have unique and new things that happen that, of course, people who lived back thousands of years ago would have no idea of. But I've come to recognize, as I have prayed about things, that someone would go and perhaps they were talking in a class or in a sermon and they would mention a certain scripture. Or perhaps you were just one day reading, and this is why it is important that we read our scriptures. That you're one day reading and you run across a scripture and there is the answer to your prayer. Clear as day, the answer that you've been asking for. And so, as I said, I've come to believe that there is a scripture for every instance and situation, brothers and sisters. It may not come to you always right away, but if you have faith and patience, the Lord will reveal that answer to you. And perhaps it will be through a scripture. Perhaps it will be through another way. We know, of course, the young prophet Joseph, he prayed for light and direction, didn't he? And his answer came through the book of James. And so we should be grateful for that. We have sang this morning about our land, this free country that we live in. And you know, I think a lot of us don't appreciate what it is that we have here. Several years ago, I was selling my minivan, and this man was interested in buying it. He was from Vietnam, and we met at a bank to finalize the sale and to get it notarized. And there was a time there where the bank clerk was doing some things, and so we began to talk. And he was telling me how he had grown up in Vietnam and a lot of the difficulties and things that they'd had there. And one thing stuck in my mind was that they only had one meal a day. And they made the most of that meal. They would try to make it their nighttime meal. And so he had come to the United States to raise his family because he didn't want his children to know what it was like to feel hunger. That's what he had grown up with. And of course, that's the last thing we think about here on this day when all the food's back in the sanctuary, or not sanctuary, fellowship hall. None of us are going to go away hungry, are we? But you think about the many blessings that we have here, the prosperity, our right to worship together and to choose whatever religion it is that we want, the right of free speech, despite all of the difficulties and things that are pointed out nowadays that we may not agree with. We still do have many of those freedoms, don't we, brothers and sisters? And so we should thank the Lord for those things. And of course, there are many other things here that I've realized are blessings. Let us not forget the testimonies of the other saints that we hear, of miracles, of healings, of ordinances that we partake in, of the ways that the Lord has blessed us. And you know, when you really go to think about it, is there really a way that you can count all of the blessings that you've received? You think of all the things that you know of, that the Lord has blessed you with, and all of the things that you don't even know of in the ways that He has blessed you. Things perhaps that you never knew, things perhaps that you have never considered. Can we really fathom the depth of our Father's love and the way that He has watched over us, that He has watched over this congregation and provided blessings to all of you here? Scripture comes to mind here. Of course, we hope that one day it will be like this. From the fourth book of Nephi, says, "It came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither there were Lamanites nor any manner of ites, for they were one, the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all of the land. And you know, I was thinking here as we sang that, why is it that we like to sing in the choir? As I said, I think if you polled the men and women behind me, certainly myself, it's because you love to sing. It's not because you want to be up here on the rostrum and to be seen. I know many of those behind me would rather not do that. It's not because of Brenda. No offense to Brenda. We love her. But it's kind of like the kingdom, isn't it, brothers and sisters, that I just read to you? The kingdom of God, it's when we one day have that unity of the Spirit and can dwell together and there's no contention among us, it's not going to be because we keep the commandments, because we want people to see that we are doing that. It's going to be because we love our Father, isn't it? And we truly love Him, and that love spreads broad in our heart to all around us. That's when we'll have the kingdom, won't we, saints? And so the Lord has been good to us, brothers and sisters. We give Him praise, the honor, and the glory. We've heard from the book of Psalms a few times, but I will end with this, the 96th Psalm. It says, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Thank you.
We have so many things to be thankful for, brothers and sisters, and I would invite you to join us immediately following this service for our Thanksgiving dinner. The table is set, and there is plenty for all to come and to join with us. And what we'd ask you to do as we leave the sanctuary is to head directly into the fellowship hall and find your place and sit down, and we'll have a special blessing over the food in there. But now, would you join with me in a benediction, and I'd ask you to stand, please. Our eternal Heavenly Father, what a joy it has been to be here in your house this day. We thank thee, Father, for the ministry that has been provided, both of the spoken word and the melody and the song that has been shared. We offer, Father, these things unto thee and pray that that which we've done this day has been pleasing unto thee, and that these songs have risen up and have fallen upon your ears. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship and to be yoked up together in these last days with these people, these saints. Thank you for them, Father, and as we depart this place, we would ask your blessing. Would you go before us? Would you be with us in our home? May your spirit burn within our bosom. Within our bosom. Please stay close to us every day of our lives. We thank thee and offer this praise and honor and glory unto thee in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.